This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Thanksgiving week, let's go! Favorite holiday. I was far more enthusiastic on Sunday with my elementary school kiddos, third, fourth, fifth graders. I got very excited about Thanksgiving and the food. They got very excited about the fact that they only have 2.5 days in school. Priorities, right? But that's what made them get all giddy. And I just try to convince them that this is the best meal of the year. And I'm a little nervous. You guys are going to have to just be encouraging me this week, because I've never cooked the Thanksgiving meal myself. And my husband is a tremendous cook. He's doing a bunch of the sides. And of course, he's going to help with the turkey. I've never done a turkey solo. I'm really nervous. Now, I did a turkey breast last year in the crock pot because there was just a couple of us. A friend came over. Plans changed at the last second, so it was just the two of us. And it was a challenge, but it came out so well. I really, really, really want this turkey to come out well, because it's my new family. It's my first time doing Thanksgiving with my husband. And so I need your encouragement, any tips you have about the turkey. I'm good with all the other stuff, because a lot of the sides are, it's almost like baking, right? And a lot of them are baked. The turkey is the part that makes me nervous. And one of my kiddos on Sunday said, I don't like turkey. I don't like Thanksgiving. It's always dry. And of course, you try to tell him, no, that's when it's not cooked well. But you don't want him to take that home to his parents and be like, my teacher said your cooking isn't any good because your turkey's dry. So I had to be careful. But of course, when a turkey's cooked to perfection, it's juicy and it's moist and it's delicious. I do not need dry turkey my first Thanksgiving with family members in town. Oh, no, Pete, I'm really nervous.
Don't be. Because as Thanksgiving is, it's for family. And look at the worst case scenario of the whole situation. If something were to happen to that turkey, you have a story to tell and you have a bunch of good sides.
Great. Except that last year I set a pie on fire. So I don't need another one of those things. I don't need to set a turkey on fire well.
But that's a funny story, though.
It was a funny story. And The second one I made was perfect. So it was great. I had before and after.
Exactly.
But with the turkey, that is, well, it's my favorite thing. And so here's the dynamic, too. It's my husband and his brother, and then brother's wife. So my new brother and sister. And the brothers got their own sides they do. Neither of them has done the turkey, but they've got their own sides. And then my sister-in-law, she's already apologizing. I don't cook at all. And I've told her, We're going to bake on Wednesday. Easy. I'm going to have you mix things and just measure things. You'll be fine. So she's going to help with that. But essentially, the turkey falls on me. The turkey and the stuffing, because they don't, I don't know if this is all of Texas, but at least their family never put the they call it dressing. So it's not stuffed in the turkey. Oh, no. This could go horribly wrong. It could be just shy of our 1 year anniversary, and I could be embarrassed by my cooking.
I have faith in you, though. I think you are very well sound in the kitchen, and I have faith that your instincts will come into play big time. And I think that plays a big role.
Thank you. Well, if nothing else, there's walnut apple crisp. I've been bragging about that for a year, sure. So I know that my husband and my fam will love that. So I guess I could distract them with ice cream and walnut apple crisp if something goes wrong with the turkey. But this is not the week for me to watch any of those movies where the turkey blows up in the oven, because that seems to happen around Thanksgiving.
It's not a good week to watch Christmas Vacation.
Right. Have you ever heard those statistics, actually, that come out around Thanksgiving? And this is a real thing. I'm not making this up. Where first responders and fire departments are routinely called to put out fires in kitchens all over the country because people are lighting their turkeys on fire.
Usually I hear those stats when I arrive to a kitchen.
Right. Which is not. I'm not going to look them up. No. I think that's a bad idea now, actually. Nope. Let's go back to football, shall we? And Charlie Brown with his football and his Thanksgiving. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, but still I could use some tips. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We're here with you the rest of tonight's show or this morning's show, and then the next two shows as well. And we'll, of course, be sorting through the rubble of week 12 in the NFL. Cowboys and Commanders. This was an opportunity for the Commanders to get back on track, having dropped back-to-back games. And gosh, I think a lot of people were pretty much giving up on the Cowboys completely as a lost cause. But I need to tell you something about this game. Are you ready? I'm going to retweet this too at A-Law Radio. I did the math all by myself. The Commanders and the Cowboys were tied at 3 at halftime. Okay. Then they scored 54 points together after the break. The majority of those coming in the fourth quarter. Do you know that when we saw Cooper Rush throw a touchdown pass to Luke Schoonmaker, 22-yard toss, comes after a fumble recovery, way to go, Cooper. He looked more comfortable. At that point, it's like 5.5 to go in the game, maybe, about midway through the fourth quarter. The fun was just beginning. In the final 4 minutes, 31 points scored. In the final 4 minutes of Cowboys and Commanders, who knew? Who knew that these two teams had that capability? So here's what I'm going to do. I normally provide context. I tell you what's happening. I kind of give you the flow and walk you through the games so you know the major turning points. Now, you're just going to hear these final scores. There were 4 more touchdowns in the final 4 minutes. 2 of them were kickoff returns. So again, Dallas took the lead 20-9 on the Schoonmaker touchdown catch from Cooper Rush. And then in the final 4 minutes, all hell broke loose.
Second and goal at the 4-yard line. In motion, Alameda Zacchaeus. McNichols in the backfield. Snap to Daniels. Looking. Throws in the middle of the end zone. That is caught. Zach Ertz. Touchdown. Touchdown, Washington. The game's back on.
Turpin fields the kick. Deep dances and running it out. Left to the 30. To the 40. To midfield. Turpin's got the Jets going. 10-5. Touchdown by the league's leading kickoff returner, and everybody's hanky is in its pocket.
Empty backfield is how it starts for Daniels. Here's the snap. Dallas just brings 3. He's able to step up. Lobs one over to Terry McLaurin, is open. 45-50. 45-40. Turns on the Jets. He's gone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Washington. They've done it again. Another miracle in Landover. I don't know what he's announcing, and I don't care. There's 21 seconds left. We got an extra point. The game is not tied. Austin Seibert has to make this. He's already missed an extra point. It's berserk. Snap. Low. Trustway gets it down.
No.
Seibert's kick.
Bad freaking snap. Bad snap.
A bad snap. They got the hold down. It's Seibert. Missed it left.
There is no V-chip for the Commanders Radio Network. They are emotional stream of consciousness, whatever comes to mind.
Nah.
So they ride the emotional roller coaster, that's for sure. Okay, so you hear the back and forth between the Cowboys, Brad Sham, Babe Laufenberg, and then the Commanders Radio Networks, respectively. After the Schoonmaker touchdown catch, Zach Ertz, he caps a quick drive. It's 9 plays, but it was just over 2 minutes. And so the Commanders put themselves right back in it. They're trailing by 3. On the very next kickoff, or I should say that kickoff, on that kickoff, Kevontae Turpin actually drops the ball, has to go backward. It almost goes into the end zone. He almost goes into the end zone. He has to pick it up on a bounce and then go 99 yards through traffic. So the Cowboys go back up by 10. That was with 2 minutes and 49 seconds to go. The Commanders get a field goal in there, so I don't want to take that out because it's huge. You just didn't hear it. So they're trailing by a touchdown. And the Cowboys, just they don't do enough with the football, right? So they give it back to the Commanders with 20 seconds to go, and Scary Terry races 86 yards after he catches a ball from Jaden Daniels, only to have Austin Seibert miss the point after attempt. So they are still trailing by a point with about, 20 seconds to go? You want to talk about from the highest of the highs to the lowest of the lows. They are about to tie it. You even hear Bram Weinstein say, another miracle, la, 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 la. And then they missed the extra point. And yeah, it was Tress Way, who, by the way, is a Pro Bowl punter. He's terrific. He's one of the best punters in the league. And it was a bad snap, and Tress has to try to make it work, and just an ugly kick for Seibert. And if you're watching it from behind the upright, so there was a one video perspective that was behind the uprights, he collapses onto the field like, no! So, yeah, then they have to try an onside kick, right? Because they didn't tie the game. They're trailing by 1. And we did actually see an onside kick successful. We'll get to that game later this hour.
Here we go. Onside kick. Recover it and you win. Seibert booms it to the left. It is covered and Thomas running it back. Thomas with the Cowboys' second kickoff return for a touchdown in the game.
What? So what I said about 2 kickoff returns and 4 more touchdowns in the final 4 minutes, I'm not sure I've ever seen that. I've seen unsuccessful onside kicks, but when was the last time you saw a touchdown off of an unsuccessful onside kick? Phenomenal. Juwanye Thomas goes 43 yards for that kickoff return. And the emotions on the sidelines, they were the same as what you were feeling watching this game. I hope you didn't turn it off after it was, 10-9 or something like that. Mike McCarthy went from ecstasy to just grave disappointment and dejection back to,
We got down to the end there, and it was just a game since situational extravaganza. I mean, it's just, it's like Yahtzee. Everything was in there. So,
is it?
Just a lot of situational football, things to learn from, things we work on all the time, but you still got to execute in those spots. So, excellent team win. These are the way these division games are supposed to go. It's just great to see our guys rewarded for just staying the course, just grinding it out. So the messaging's been great. Going up into it, no one's really blinking, just with everything going around us. So it feels good to win. It's been a minute.
You just got to get that ball rolling. That's kind of what we talked about. That was the messaging all week. Get one. And, especially going into a short week, you can get 2 real quick too. So you just got to get that one. And full team effort today, as everyone saw, and it was awesome.
Yeah, how about that? The messaging all week was not, hey, this sucks. Hey, this season is over. Hey, our coach is about to get fired. No, Mike McCarthy's still coaching. And you may still think he's dead man walking, but the man's got a job to do until we get to that point. And what did Cooper Rush say? It was awesome. We all week talked about how we just have to get 1. So they do end their losing skid. They're now sitting at 4-7. And if you're wondering about their stretch of games coming up, they have the Giants in Dallas on Thanksgiving Day. Then they have the Bengals on the road at the Panthers. The weekend before Christmas, it's the Buccaneers. Then they finish with their two, I would say their two toughest games of the year, or two of the toughest games of the year, at the Eagles and the Commanders to wrap up the regular season. And so they do have an opportunity. I'm not telling you it's going to happen. I know they have Cooper Rush. They don't have Dak Prescott. The offense has still at times been rough, except for whatever this was. Yahtzee is what Mike McCarthy called it. They do have an opportunity here where they're facing, is it four? The Bengals are still below 500, right? So they've got Giants, Bengals, Panthers, and Bucks, all teams with losing records. Now, that doesn't mean you can overlook them. The Panthers nearly pulled off the upset of Kansas City on Sunday. But if you take care of your business, and if you are what Micah Parsons says you are, a damn good football team, then now is your opportunity to prove it. And in the NFC, there are wild cards to be had, even if right now you sit at a losing record. And we've talked about this. The Eagles and the Commanders in the NFC East have winning records. Then you've got Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay in the NFC North. Okay, so there's five teams right there. Two of them will get the division titles. And then you're looking at potentially the three wild cards coming out of those divisions. But if the Cowboys can rattle off, again, hypothetical, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if that defense can continue to take care of business, it looks better. If they can rattle off, let's just say for the sake of argument, four wins in a row, they'd be above 500. And if you're above 500, you are more than likely to get a playoff spot out of the NFC. As for the Commanders, credit to them, they're 7-5, even though they've lost three games in a row. And Dan Quinn, this is his chance to rally the troops, if you will, as they face some adversity.
What I told the team after the game was that this is the most challenged we've been in our time together. And I reminded them it's not enough to learn the lessons, but we have to apply them. And love the fight that we have, fight games, close games, but we've got to apply them. Learn the lesson of the finishing the ball, whatever that might apply to. We've got to make sure we do that. And so I remind them it's never about one play. And so that execution falls on all of us players and coaches. And I firmly believe that. And so we'll get to it tomorrow. We'll look at the tape and get right to the truth of it all.
I think anytime you lose a game or you lose a game in that type of facet, it's very difficult and it's tough, but it never comes down to one play. There's play throughout the game where little things that add up to big things.
Okay, I'm sorry, I just got distracted. I looked up at NFL Network and there was a horde of turkeys. I don't think horde is what they're called. A gaggle. There was a gaggle of turkeys on the screen, like real turkeys, not a fake like puppet turkey. That's awesome. Good. I love turkeys.
Situational extravaganza.
Although one time about 3 years ago, I was running and there was a young Tom turkey who was just in the middle of the road. Everybody has wild turkeys every now and then. He was in the middle of the road and cars were stopped for him. And I stopped and took a picture, actually, because it was funny that there were cars stopped for a turkey. And then I went on my merry way only to have people honking at me. And I turn around pointing, they're pointing, the turkey's chasing me. I wasn't paying any attention to him. The turkey was chasing me. And people tell me that's what they do when they are looking for a mate. No, thank you. So I think he was mad because I stopped and took his photo and then he started chasing me. That turkey was damn fast. I had to put on the afterburners to run away from that thing. He nearly bit me in the rear end. I'm not kidding. He nearly did. I didn't stop to take a picture of that because I was too afraid.
You were running.
Crazy turkeys. No, he was seriously running at me. People were watching him, like, honking at me. Run! I saw this tweet from Kevin. Both locker rooms at halftime. Our plan is working perfectly. Now that we've lulled them into a false sense of security, it's time to strike. Yeah, right. This was a game that you probably gave up on, especially if you're not a fan of either team. 3-3, 10-9. All right. Can we see a little something, something, anything? And then the excitement of that fourth quarter in the final 4 minutes. Jaden, by the way, with 275 yards and a couple of touchdowns, but also got sacked four times and had two interceptions. Remember, early in the year, one of the things that people were pointing to, his accuracy, he's not throwing interceptions. Now, to be fair, in this one of his interceptions, it actually landed in his receiver's breadbasket. And then I can't remember which one it was, but the deep, John Bates, I think. John Bates just ripped it away from the receiver and went rumbling away. So, yeah, this was quite the finish. Wacky and wild. You can find me online at A-Law Radio. Some of you are sending your turkey tips. Thank you so much. We'll get to your calls, 855-212-4227. Then also on our Facebook page, new photo up from Sunday morning. You definitely want to go check it out. What do we want to do next? So back half of the hour, we're going to get to Vikings and Bears because they went into overtime. Another game in which it looked like a team was well on its way to winning and then couldn't protect that win. Why don't we stick in the NFC East then and do Bucks and Giants? Because that game was going on at MetLife on Sunday, and it was the return of the Tommy DeVito era. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Baker Mayfield is under center, Graham Barton out. Will swing Jalen McMillan in motion to the left edge. Hands the ball off to Irvin. Cuts it back against the touchdown, Tampa Bay. Bucky Irvin scores a touchdown for Tampa Bay. And we take a 16-0 lead. Here's the snap. Second down and goal. Bucks have two timeouts. Running the ball is Baker Mayfield. He fakes the pass. Crunch to his left. Dino on touchdown. Baker Mayfield put on a cape and flew into the end zone. How about that touchdown number three rushing for Baker Mayfield this season? Look at him cheering on the Bucks fans.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
And when Gene Deckerhoff says cheering on the Bucks fans, what he means is imitating the Tommy DeVito celebration, which for those of you who don't know, it's the Italian celebration.
Oh.
Pete, would you describe it the Italian? Hey. And he was doing it with both hands, and he was doing it so violently that I thought, oh my gosh, can you chill a little bit with your, we don't do it like that. We Italians don't like, I mean, he was like flicking his wrist so hard. It looked violent. Like, we're not, well, some of us, I guess, because of the mob and the mafia, but it was like, hey, it's supposed to be like, it's in there. Like, chill, dude. Anyway, he did it for like a good 10 seconds after his flying leap into the end zone. And he did lose the ball, but he was across the plane. I feel like he wanted to do a Josh Allen imitation. And so he was quizzed afterwards about his, now this is what the cool kids call it, his DeVito celly.
In the end zone, and then I guess it was the DeVito celebration. Is that
tribute to Tommy? Yeah,
tribute.
He's a good dude. He's got swag.
Yeah, who came up with that?
Oh, I have no idea. I just see him do it.
No, but whose idea was it for you to do that? And when did you know you were going to do it?
Most of the times I don't know what I'm going to do. So there's spontaneous stuff.
That was just spontaneous. That was not planned. I mean, even your teammates got into
stop.
It.
Yeah, New York fans love Tommy here and give them something they like.
What? Why? Why? Those? I'm embarrassed.
Oh, can we do that again?
Nothing to do with her being a female either, because men ask embarrassing questions as well. But are you kidding me? Was it planned? Do you know Baker Mayfield? He flies by the seat of his pants like his hair is on fire. Like, no, he doesn't plan these things. He doesn't plan jack. Anyway, just that whole line of questioning. So he called it a tribute, which I really like.
Who came up with that?
Oh, I have no idea.
It might be a little bit of a Hall of Flame material there, Pete. And I love how Baker, he remains calm. He's a mature Baker here. He's not being sarcastic or snarky to the reporter. Instead, he's like, half the time, I don't even know what I'm doing, much less what I'm doing with a celebration. That's good stuff. Well, good stuff. Good for Baker. So the Bucks end up starting the game with an 8.5-minute touchdown drive. And before you know it, they've got three rushing touchdowns. They're up 23-0. And then, sadly, Tyrone Tracy fumbles in the red zone. And then Tampa takes 7 minutes to go the other direction, 95 yards. This is total ball control. Four rushing touchdowns, over 150 yards on the ground. Baker actually near perfect. And they needed the bye week for this. Oh, and welcome back Mike Evans. That was awesome. It was great to see him on the field again. Remember, he had that hammy, so he was on IR. Was he on IR? He was out for a few weeks. Baker goes 24 of 30.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nearly 300 yards, and yes, the DeVito celly, but mostly loves what he saw from the offense. They were 4 for 5 in the red zone with 450 total yards.
Just the focus, talked about it, getting away from the bye, get away from it for a little bit and come back ready to roll and play it 1 week at a time. And, offensively, we did that for 3 quarters for the most part. And that was the focus and energy we needed to play complimentary football. And then come out in the second half and defense gets a turnover and, you put together a 95-yard drive. That's huge. That's complimentary football. That's big time. That's what we've been looking for. And so it's good to see. And now we just need to build on it.
It's good concentration. The guys focused on the little things. For the most part, we executed on both sides of the football. Still like to finish the game a little better, but they came back mentally tougher and they came back ready to play.
All right, so they end their losing skid, and because of the nature of the NFC South, you want to talk about it. It sits in there. I'm doing my DeVito celly. We're not going to call it DeVito celly. It's Italian. Forget it. It's not DeVito. I mean, DeVito is Italian. And that's kind of the draw for him, is that he comes from a northern New Jersey family. They're big Giants fans. He's got the big nose. He's authentic Italian. And so that was his celebration and really sparked the Giants last year, as much as you can spark the Giants ever. But not quite the same thing against the Bucks.
Sparked the Bucks this year.
Yeah, right. So the Giants remain at 2 wins. They're 2-9, and they are 0-6 at home, which of course is delightful for fans there at MetLife. They continue to get booed and all that jazz. Actually, I'm not even sure fans should bother wasting their breath anymore. But Malik Nabers, he's the latest one to speak out in frustration. And I can understand it when you're changing quarterbacks or when the offense has got guys that don't specialize in throwing the ball. I'm trying to be diplomatic here. It can be tough because he is a great receiver and yet doesn't consistently have a QB who can get the ball to him. So I understand why he's frustrated, but lest you think he's going to pile on quarterbacks, he actually says this isn't about Daniel Jones.
Obviously, it ain't the quarterback. Same outcome when we had DJ at quarterback. I mean, take a look. It ain't the quarterback.
So he was getting a lot of attention in the postgame locker room. It ain't the quarterback. He did get targeted 9 times and had a half dozen catches. He was the leading receiver for the Giants, but in terms of touchdown opportunities, not there. He's definitely frustrated, as is a lot of the team. And Brian Daboll was kind of put on the spot whether or not to their performance. And I, you know, there were labels of soft coming out of the locker room as well. That was another one. Did their performance get impacted by the switch at QB?
We're moved on from it. You know, we've talked about the Daniel situation. We just got to do a better job, play better all the way around.
It's just gross. I know that it has to do with the business of the NFL. And maybe they thought Tommy DeVito would provide a little life and spark and the fans would get to see kind of this cult hero since they did keep him around from last season. But if you're trying to win, that's not the best option. And they're really doing it so that they can keep him available for trade material, if you will. And there's all kinds of speculation about where he might end up and who might go after him. But one of the three teams remaining at just 2 wins, which means you've got 3 teams right there who will be, at least at this point, still vying for that number 1 overall draft pick. Bucks moved to 5-6, and they're very much in the thick of it in the NFC South. In fact, they're just 1 game behind the Atlanta Falcons. Let's talk to Kevin, who's in Ontario. Kevin, welcome to After Hours.
Amy.
Yes.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. Oh, I've got a good Thanksgiving story for you.
Does it have to do with blowing up a turkey?
Yeah, it has to do with turkey. Cool. Here in Canada, we already had our Thanksgiving back in October.
Okay.
But we celebrate your American Thanksgiving all the time.
I mean, why not? You should.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, here's the story. We get invited over to my aunt's place, and she's cooking up turkey. However, there's a horrible, horrible, horrible smell when the turkey's cooking. And we're wondering, what's going on?
Oh, no.
Well, guess what?
I can't possibly guess.
She did not know that inside the turkey was the neck, the giblets, the heart, the whole deal, the plastic bag.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Yes. So anyways.
Ugh. Did it set on fire? Or just like burned inside the turkey?
Oh, it burned.
Oh, no.
It burned and it smelled like, rotten
eggs
or whatever it was.
Oh, no.
Yep. So guess what my dad did?
What?
He said, forget the turkey. We're going out for Chinese food.
Now, see, I can't do that. I can't go out. We bought a lot of food for 4 of us. We've got all kinds of dishes. Going to be leftovers. No way. This is hell or high water. We're having a Thanksgiving dinner. Even if the turkey isn't edible, let's hope that's not what happens. There'll be lots of sides and dessert.
Well, guess what? You're going to be eating for the next week. Turkey sandwiches, turkey soup.
Yeah, so good.
Everything.
I love it. That's why it's one of my favorite meals of the entire year.
Oh, it's excellent. It's excellent.
Yes.
And up here in Canada, we celebrate you Americans with your...
You Americans.
You Americans.
Our brothers to the South.
Well, we got our independence from you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I thank you for the reminder, Kevin, in Ontario, to not leave the plastic bag in the turkey with the little different parts, because that's, I'm sure I would have been in there just because I've got to put the stuffing in. But I am glad to know maybe someone else out there needed to hear it, because I can imagine that would have sucked and ruined the entire day. Turkey cooking snafu, Thanksgiving snafus. Could you imagine? If we put this out there, the number of people that would call, be willing to relatively anonymously share their Thanksgiving cooking faux pas.
I think we have to do that. We have 2
you
days.
You do think so?
2 days.
Oh, great. That's really going to encourage me a lot. I mean, I'm the first to tell you, I set a pie on fire just last year. I was getting all excited. It was a walnut crusted pumpkin pie, and I set it on fire. I have the photos to prove it, but the second one was amazing. So at least I didn't burn the house down. That would have been far worse.
I think it's a good topic to do Tuesday night into Wednesday.
All right. That might be fun. Instead of asking me anything, we'll just ask you about your worst Thanksgiving faux pas cooking. Have you ever had to call the fire department? Have you ever set off the smoke alarm? Oh, gosh, there got to be millions of people who've done that. That's why you open the windows on Thanksgiving, just to be sure that if you have smoke issues, that it's got an outlet. All right. Well, that's fun to look forward to. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Coming up, we've got Bears and we've got Vikings out of that terrific NFC North, the game that went into overtime on Sunday. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Let's begin with Sunday Night Football and quite an evening for Saquon Barkley.
In the pistol with Barkley behind him. What a bet he gives it to Barkley. He gives it to Barkley, who cuts outside. Uh-oh. He's at the 40, the 50, the 40. He's going to go again. He's going to go again. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. His all-time record, 72 yards.
Merrill Reese on Eagles Radio. The Eagles beat the Rams 37-20. Saquon Barkley rushed for 255 yards and two touchdowns, one for 70 yards, the other went for 72. Elsewhere on the scoreboard, Packers over the Niners 38-10, Josh Jacobs with three touchdown runs. Seahawks over the Cardinals 16-6, Broncos 29, Raiders 19, the Cowboys over the Commanders 34-26, Buccaneers beat the Giants 30-7, Dolphins 34, Patriots 15, the Lions 10-1, for the first time since 1934, their ninth straight win beat the Colts 24-6. Titans over the Texans 32-27. In overtime, the Vikings beat the Bears 30-27. And the Chiefs survive a scare, beat the Panthers 30-27 on Spencer Schrader's 31-yard field goal. With no time remaining, the Chiefs now 10-1. Now to the NBA and the Nets over the Kings 108-103. The Cavaliers improved to 17-1. Beat the Raptors 122-108. Was the Clippers over the Sixers 125-99. In overtime, Heat 123, Mavs 118, Pacers 115, Wizards 103, Celtics over the T-Wolves 107-105. Out of college basketball, Georgia over number 22, St. John 66-63. Number 24, Rutgers fell to Kennesaw State 79-77. Number 19, Wisconsin over Pittsburgh 81-75. NHL, Maple Leafs over Utah 3-2. Major League Soccer playoffs, Orlando over Atlanta 1-0. And the LA Galaxy beat Minnesota 6-2. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Hey, sports fans. Zach Gelb here on the Infinity Sports Network. Check us out 24/7 on your local affiliate or on the Odyssey app. Download it today.
From the 2-yard line, minute and a half to go in the third quarter. Vikings lead by 7, and they want to make it a 2-score game. Darnold under center, handoff Aaron Jones up the middle, and into the end zone, touchdown! He's showtime! And Aaron Jones has run the Vikings to a 23-10 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Paul Allen on Vikings radio. And that third quarter rushing touchdown for Aaron Jones comes after a Chicago muffed punt. And it actually seemed to close the door for Minnesota. They were just one quarter away from picking up win number 9 on the road at the Chicago Bears. But maybe they thought the same thing too and then failed on a 4th-and-1. So it's kind of an odd play, odd call, I thought. Sam Darnold chucking it downfield on a 4th-and-1. And yeah, that could have been the end of the Chicago Bears in this game, but it backfired because then Chicago has a drive that features Caleb Williams, who is scrambling a lot on this day. He goes 7 yards on a fourth down snap and picks up a first down to move the chains. And DJ Moore, and you remember, not that long ago, DJ and Caleb were talking about why they hadn't settled into a great rhythm, why they were struggling to find that compatibility. Well, they were able to dial it up when they needed it.
Caleb Williams in at quarterback, barking out his instructions. The Bears go 3 by 2. Three right, two to the left. Safety back. Picket line, kind of a defenders. Five of them back deep. Caleb in a quick screen throw, snared by DJ Moore to the front. DJ Moore explodes into the end zone for the touchdown on a throw left and a run right into the end zone. Nice going, DJ Moore. A very quick throw by Caleb Williams on the screen.
Jeff Joniak on the Bears Radio Network. Now, after a Minnesota field goal, there's a 55-yard kick return for the Bears by DeAndre Carter. And once again, you've got Caleb Williams and that offense sitting in a really good position.
Inside the one. Bears cannot stop the clock at 39 seconds to go. No timeouts. Caleb Williams getting him lined up. Got to hurry. First and goal at the one. Caleb awaiting the snap. Takes. Here comes late pressure. Ducks under it. Rolls right. Throws wide open. End zone. Right side. Pass. Caught for the touchdown. Keenan Allen. Touchdown Bears.
Taking advantage of their opportunities late in this game, obviously leaving too many points out there on the field early when they fell into the hole. But I was impressed to see how Caleb was navigating this pressure pack situation. So after he finds Keenan Allen for the touchdown, that's 22 seconds to go. They do convert the 2-point. And now they're just trailing by 3. And this is what we talked about. There were a bunch of onside kicks. There were some wild finishes in the NFL. This is the earlier round of games. And it's not easy anymore, right? You have to declare it. It's a completely different type of a feel. But the Bears were trying to force the action.
All right. Ball's laying there. Flat on the ground. And a one-step kick. Here's Santos. Rips it right. Ball moves. And it is on the ground. Recovered by the Bears, it appears.
Yep.
Did it go 10?
It touched the Viking. It touched the Viking.
All right. Bears have come up with it. Oh, my goodness. Tarvarius Moore, number 30, recovers the onside kick. 21 seconds to play in the game. Wow. Trio to the left. Caleb takes the snap. Three-man rush and a good one, but it's picked up. Throwing over the middle of the field. It is caught by DJ Moore. Up in the air at the 30. Bears rush with 12.
Give the ball to the official.
Got the official at 9. 8. 7. 6. Underneath center. Caleb snaps the ball down with 3 seconds to go.
Why do you think he did that? But perfectly timed, by the way, perfectly played out for the Bears in terms of setting up that game-tying field goal. And yes, after DJ Moore hauls in a 27-yarder, so see what I'm talking about with their symbiosis, their symbiotic relationship that's now productive. They get into field goal range. Cairo Santos hits a 48-yarder to force overtime. But then here's where kind of reverts back. And this is, I think, probably one of the things that frustrates the Bears fans and certainly frustrates the Bears themselves is you can see where they're making progress. You can see these flashes of brilliance, if you will, for Caleb. And he has some real positive plays and great momentum. And then they have a drive like this where they go 3 and out with a negative yardage and they get the ball first in overtime. And they go 3 and out, they have negative yardage, and they give the ball to Minnesota. And in this case, Sam Darnold and his team around him, his guys around him, there's too many weapons there to give him another chance like that one.
Jake McQuaid, the long snapper, Ryan Wright holds. This is a 29-yard field goal between the hash marks to win it. Snap spot, Romo! Yes!
Yes!
And the Minnesota Vikings have won 5 consecutive games at Soldier Field. The final score, 30-27. This is about 3, 4, and 5. The Minnesota Vikings have won 3 consecutive road games for the first time in franchise history. They've won 4 consecutive games overall, and they've won 5 consecutive times at Soldier Field, and done so for the first time in a quarter century. The final score, 30-27, Minnesota.
give those guys credit for not quitting and fighting to the very end. We got to do a better job trying to close that thing out in regulation. But, you know, we've learned a lot about our team in different ways throughout the season. Every result, you know, over our 9 wins and our 2 losses, excuse me, we've learned a lot about our team, and I think we learned some new things today. Was really proud of the way you're on the road in the NFC North, and momentum is not just lost, it's completely lost, and there's very many groups that might not respond that way.
So Kevin O'Connell has got his team. It reminds me a little bit of the Chiefs. He's got his team facing adversity and kind of fighting through, and they're not blowing teams out either, not this stage of the season, and yet they are able to come up with these wins. So they outlast the Bears, and it shouldn't have been this close, but what they did in overtime on their drive was terrific, and this is more along the lines of what we've seen from Sam Darnold and the offense this year. He was 6 for 6 on that drive in overtime, and if you didn't see it, TJ Hockenson had a couple of big catches to move the chains in this game, but in overtime, he hauls in a 30-yarder that gets them upfield and puts them in position for that field goal where John Parker Romo only has to chip it. Although, you know, don't jinx. I don't believe in jinxes, but it just always seems like this is a chip shot and then clang right off the upright. So, for him, just a 29-yarder and the Vikings prevail. And great day for Jordan Addison. Sam Darnold really liked to point around the guys who can catch the ball. And this one, Justin Jefferson only had 2 catches, but Addison was 8 for 162 and a touchdown.
J.A. obviously had a huge game. His ability to just stay ready, stay prepared whenever his number's called. T.J., the same thing. I felt T.J. had a really good game today. Jets, you know, obviously, just his ability when he's out there, he gets guys open. The defense is so locked into him at certain points in the game, whether it's, you know, second and long, third down, even first down at times. So his ability to just, you know, continue to stay with it. And continue to show that resiliency even, you know, throughout the game, you know, when he's not, you know, getting touches. And, you know, I feel like, just our entire offense, I feel like has been doing a really good job of that this year. And we'll just continue to stay resilient and find a way to win.
Oh, no, I ain't saying nothing to him. He know what all these receivers could do in the building when we get our opportunities, you know. And, you know, today was just my day, so appreciate Sam for, you know, throwing dimes. And I'm always going, you know, come up for him.
Well, even if he doesn't want to sing his own praises, which is refreshing, he is one of our candidates for After Hours Monday MVP. The poll is up. Now, these are some tough odds. We'll see whether or not the likes of Jordan, Josh, and Jalen have anything for what I believe will be the front runner. Even before the poll really starts to gain any momentum, before you find it. At Amy After Hours. Also, I shared it on my Twix at A-Law Radio. We'll get that thrown up on our Facebook page as well. Now, coming up next hour, we're excited. In fact, not even a half hour from now, our friend David Haw of our Chicago affiliate, AM670 The Score, will join us live before he goes on the air with his morning show, Mully and Haw. And I know this is a 4-7 record now. It's frustrating for not just Bears fans, but for the Bears themselves too. And Caleb Williams trying to be encouraged. He had 340 yards, a couple of touchdowns. He was their leading rusher, but they end up losing.
You see these guys talking about my teammates fight all the way through the end, regardless of what happened. And the play is good, bad. We fought all the way to the end, and that's definitely encouraging. You don't want to be around people that are quitting, that are giving up. And that's not the type of guys we have.
It'll be interesting, because I want to ask David whether or not this is considered a rebuild for the Bears. Yes, they have a number one overall draft pick at QB, and Caleb is really smart and he's accountable, and I do think that there are a lot of positives there. I believe that more than likely he's going to end up as a solid, maybe even better than average, who knows, potentially elite starting QB. But it's his first year. What else do they need to change? What else do they need to put around him? But is this a rebuild, or is this considered a team that's supposed to be winning now? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.